What's going on, guys? What does sardine mac and cheese taste like? Can Carl change the outcome of the war from beyond the grave? And just how screwed up was Simon? We found out tonight. We're going to see you guys in just 1 second on The Walking Dead After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We'll see you in just one quick second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? What's going on? We're back.
We are back.
It's AfterBuzz. Yeah, we're here. Why is there a paper towel on the desk?
Oh, sorry. That's for me crying. All the crying tonight on the show.
Because you were upset about the death of certain characters.
Yes, the deaths. Exactly. Yeah.
What's up, everybody? It's AfterBuzz TV. It's the Walking Dead After Show here on Sunday night. It's Daryl Kristen, myself, Ben Bateman. We're here to talk. I'm going to go here. I'm Ben Bateman. We're going to talk to you guys right now about the episode 15 in season 8 titled Worth.
Yeah.
What was this episode worth to you?
Oh, man. It was a lot going on. You know, I mean, I literally, at the beginning of the show, you know, I said to you, it's all about either Negan is going to kill Dwight or he's going to kill Simon. And
right.
I said that from the beginning.
Sure.
It's just the way they set it up, you know? But it's to me, it was all about Negan finding out who was loyal to him and who wasn't.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like.
Of course, yeah, Negan gets the best of everybody, you know, in the wrestling sense. He was put over everyone in this episode, so he's the ultimate badass now. This episode was fine. I think we try to be pretty honest about how we feel about this show. Last week was one of my favorites in a long time. This week was a little weaker for me. I thought it was the through line was not there for me, and there were certain plot points that they had to tie in, obviously, as we move towards the finale that didn't hit home for me. But all that being said, there is plenty to talk about on the show this week. And I suggest we start out right away with Negan coming back to the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Dwight running into Negan and this storyline that we saw coming last week, knowing that Negan was going to come back and he had a mystery passenger in his car. Well, Negan walks in here and you got to wonder at this point, the people looking around and looking at Negan and seeing him walking back in, it feels a little bit like the legend of Negan is fading. So it surprised me that he was able to get to the bottom of it and come out on top by the end of it. Like, he had to jump through a lot of hoops to execute that silencer massacre, you know, to pull out of the...
Yeah, but here's the thing. I feel like it was such a surprise that he was back that it threw people off, you know,
right.
So his team off so much because they didn't know where the hell he was,
sure.
You know, and they were trying to figure that all out. I actually think that the fact that he jumped back in, people were like, oh, snap, like,
yeah.
This dude's back, like, he's, you know what I mean, he's our leader, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everybody in this post-apocalyptic world is kind of looking for their leader, and that's the big deal, is that if you have one, if you have like a really intimidating, menacing leader like Negan, and he comes back, I suppose maybe it's easy to just get back on board with him. But like, he kind of got defeated and Simon was the guy. So, you know, Negan comes back, he has these kind of cryptic conversations with Dwight. Now, from the first one of those, you're sure, right? You're sure that Negan knows?
Which part? Like,
he knows that Dwight is a traitor.
I mean, from the beginning, I just knew that something was going on.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, that's what I felt. I mean, especially the way they even set it up, I really thought that Negan knew some things coming into it.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was trying to, like, fish to see kind of how Dwight would react to certain things. But to me, even the way they set it up is the fact that he knew that Negan or Dwight had traded, you know, gone to the other side.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So Negan comes back and we see him sit down with Simon at the table. He's got all his lieutenants. And Simon kind of does his whole apology thing. Here's my question to you. If Negan says to you, I'm going to need you to get on your knees, what do you do? If you're in his position.
Man, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
in so many ways. I mean, just because I want to show my loyalty, I probably would do it.
Even though I think he thinks he's going to get his brain bashed in there.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you don't do it, you're still going to die. You know what I mean? So it's like,
you
might as well go ahead and do it and then show, hey, I'm going with this, what the rules are.
Right.
Because even if you're going to die, at least, you know, you kind of know that there might be an out a little
bit. Sure.
You know.
Fair. Yeah, I guess if you ask me the same question, I think I have the same kind of...
You would have gone to your knees, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I have the same reaction you had to the question, which is it's a strange question.
Yeah.
I didn't even anticipate it to be a strange question.
did I make it awkward?
No, you made this weird, D. No. I think you're probably right, though. I think you got to assume in that moment what's your better option.
Well, because I also feel like you, at that moment, you feel like you may be tested.
Yeah.
About, you know, and this, once again, it goes back to the top. Once what I said about Negan, he's testing his team. He tested Dwight tonight. He tested Simon tonight. Even though he has the end result of the answer, you're going to go with the flow because you want to show, even if you were being shady, which they were,
yeah.
Dwight more than Simon, but Simon in different ways. But you're going to show that you still respect the leader because you're scared.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, for sure. At the end of the day, you still got like 30 to 50 people who are on the leader's side who will destroy you at any moment.
Sure. All right, so this conversation happens. Negan does his whole intimidation play, right? Simon gets up, keeps Dwight behind, kind of gives him a whole you're going to come through for me thing. You think for a second there, maybe, just maybe, that Negan doesn't know. Because they're trying to tease us to not just know that it was Laura in the car, even right. though like we all kind of just know
we
it was
do.
Laura in the car. Yeah. And then you see Simon come to Dwight and be like, hey, we got to take him out. We got to take him out. This is the plan. So we get this gathering out in the yard. And, of course, you're just waiting for it. You're yeah. waiting for it. And the whistling starts.
Yeah.
So about 6 people, it looked like, get taken out. Negan's got, like, a death squad of snipers.
Yeah.
This show is so – it's such, like, a cartoon in some ways, the way that, like, stuff like that works.
Oh, here you go, Ben. Here we go.
Just to the way that stuff like that works, where it's just, yeah. like, you know, there's so many people and so many perfectly trained tacticians with great aim and silencers that, like, they're, of course, going to have tactical advantage, and nobody in this coup is going to have any idea it's coming, and then they're all going to execute all these people from long range all at once. No mistakes. Nobody runs away. It's just, like, it's so clean.
So you don't believe in the training that they go through, the team, Ben? That's what I'm saying. You know, there's an intense training for all these people.
I mean, that moment doesn't totally bother me. It's just a thing. Like, there are obviously less believable moments, but
yeah.
it's like I said, it felt like wrestling. It felt like choreography. It was just like, Negan is put over.
I feel you.
He's now the guy. He's the guy again. We are all Negan.
We're all Negan. We are Negan.
And this is after, mind you, Gregory has his moment with Simon where he gets all peacocky on him. And trying to yell and be all blustery. I'm going to make something happen. I've always made something happen. You know? Nope.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, you know how I feel about Gregory. So that's what we'll get into that a little bit later. But, you know, it's about leadership.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, everybody wants, like you said, someone to lead them.
Yeah.
And Negan does that. And coming back showed his strength.
Yeah. I agree. You see the things he's best at.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the next part of the show, I do want to give a quick shout out to last week's YouTube commenters. We had a couple really good ones. We have Awkward Angel saying 37 episodes of Negan. Oh man, that's a lot. Feels like a lot, but definitely puts it all into perspective. We talked about that last week. We agree. 38 episodes now of Negan is what we are. That's a tremendous amount of this show.
We are Negan.
Yeah, we are Negan. That's what the show feels like. And then this is an interesting one. So we had A-B-E-V-S-1, Abevs. Big shout out to Abevs on A-Bevs. The YouTube. He says, Ben, it's weird to me that you act like the Morgan storyline is an example of good writing. It's literally the exact same thing they've done with his character in the past. He just repeats the storyline over and over like everyone else on the show. That's an interesting comment. It does feel like the show is experiencing a tremendous amount of redundancy. And
you've said that before, too.
I have. And first of all, I want to just give the quick shout-outs to these guys and let you guys know that if you do comment, like, subscribe, comment on YouTube, if you do that, we'll give you shout-outs just like this on the show. We'll talk about your comments. I think it's an interesting point you make. I liked the Morgan storyline from last week's episode a lot. I thought it was surprising. I thought that I liked that they made him this broken character who kind of like a proud dog who's fetched a bone, comes back to the kid and says, I killed the man that killed your brother. And the kid is just like evolved past Morgan. He's
sure.
already. I thought that was smart writing. I enjoyed the quiet Morgan cry moment, but that was just me. I felt like something we hadn't seen from him before. But yes, as I've said before, we're 8 seasons in. We're hundreds, you know, well over 100 episodes into the show. It's difficult to keep reinventing the wheel. It is hard for them to keep coming up with storylines that don't feel derivative of this content.
I mean, I agree. It's tough. I mean, they've done a great job in one regard, but then, you know, it is starting to be a little bit redundant in a lot of ways with certain with certain characters. So tonight, you know, I really was hoping that we would see 2 characters die. We saw, obviously, you know, Simon die, but I also wanted to see Dwight in his own way.
You want to see Dwight die? I've really come to like Dwight. He's actually become one of the characters that I enjoy following.
I just don't know his peak anymore. You know, like he's played both sides now, and both sides know that he's playing both sides.
Yeah.
So at what point do we see him be gone? You know,
I mean, it feels like Dwight is an important character to the good guys. I don't think Dwight's going to die. We can talk about that in predictions a little later. We'll get to predictions and comic book spoilers later in the show. But when we get there, I will expound on that, why I don't think Dwight's going to die. But we do get a Simon death. The Simon fight that happens, it felt like watching that fight between Simon and Negan in a much, much, much less awesome way, because I'm comparing it to something great here. Sure. It felt a little bit like watching Bane versus Batman in Dark Knight Rises.
I love that. Love that,
right?
Reference.
You know, yep, that scene?
Yep.
And because you saw all the people watching, and it's like the inevitability that Negan was going to win was just like everyone knew. And yeah, it's that same scene where Batman's fighting Bane and all his henchmen are watching, and they look like almost repulsed watching, because they're just like, he's going to beat you to death. That's what he does. And you're never going to win.
You're never going to win. But, you know, like I told you when we were watching the episode, I was disappointed in that death. Because here's the thing. Simon's such a prolific character in the show. You know, we've grown to love and hate him, right?
Sure.
So to have just Negan kind of strangle him, and then it says, you know, you're kind of watching, you see that his, you know, throat's being crushed, but we don't really see the death. You know, I wanted something more dramatic. I wanted a head cut off. I wanted, you know, something. I don't know. I just felt like it was a little anticlimactic for as much prominence he has in the series.
The,
you know?
The whole Simon being a walker thing didn't do it for you.
No, it didn't. It was like, even that, I was like, I want a little bit more.
The fight was okay. I was cool with the fight. What's the chat think about the fight? You guys like the fight?
Yeah, what do you guys think about the fight in the chat?
I was actually pretty into the fight.
Sydney Taylor says this show needs new writers.
That's a good answer.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fight was fine with me. It wasn't my favorite part of the episode, but I think it was okay. I didn't think Simon at this point was going to get that dramatic of an arc. He felt like his time was probably coming, and his insurrection was a little bit of a plot device to give Negan that power to come back. I was a little surprised to see both the death of Simon and the Dwight being exposed in the same episode. That took me a little by surprise.
I'm actually happy it happened. I mean, because here's the thing. We have one more episode this season, right?
Yeah.
So we got to make some things happen quickly. You know, we got to see some more deaths, and we got to see, you know, they always, one thing that's great about this show is they always take a major character and somehow throw us off with that character. I felt like in this regard, it's the Dwight Simon characters. I mean, we've seen Carl as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I just felt like we needed to see where it's at today, you know, where it was.
Yeah, I don't know who the major death next week will be. Maybe it's Negan. Maybe that's who dies. At this point, it feels like The Walking Dead is really, in the weirdest way possible, it feels like he's the second biggest star on the show behind Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah.
Doesn't, like, when I see the press now and I see them up on the stage, it's always like at the Comic Cons and the panels. Doesn't feel like the show has a second star that's as big as Jeffrey Dean Morgan anymore. Even Norman Reedus, even Daryl, doesn't feel
That's funny. It used to be Norman, you know, and I feel like Negan, well, because we also see more storylines from Negan this season.
Right.
You know,
so they've heavily built him up.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. So finally, we get this fight. Negan strangles Simon. He breaks his windpipe, kills him, and says, we watch it with the captions on.
Yeah,
and,
I love
that. As
I love
it was happening, it's like sound effect, broken windpipe. So we get to see this happen. At the same time, Dwight takes this plan that Negan has written down on a map of these 10-man teams coming to surround the hilltop, gives it to Gregory, and as soon as that happened, you were like, there's no way this is real. You're like, There's just no way that Dwight thinks it's okay to trust Gregory. Gregory's on Dwight's side. Nobody's ratting out anybody, and it's the real plan. I was like, there is no way this works.
The funny thing is, when he gave Dwight all that information, when he gave Gregory, Dwight gave Gregory that information, I actually thought that Gregory was going to walk back in that room and expose Dwight at that moment.
Just to get him.
Because that's the type of person that Gregory is.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I thought really was going to happen.
Right. Yeah, so that happens, and finally, Negan takes back Sanctuary and basically says to Simon as he's killing him, you know, you killed the garbage people, I told you to stay away from that shit, and now I'm going to have to kill all of them.
Yeah.
So it's really setting up that for all the sort of bargaining and all of the back and forth, Negan is intending to murder everybody. And Rick, as we saw last week, has basically no sympathy left for the Saviors. They're really doing a good job of like, through these different conversations, through Carl's letter, through the scene where they massacre those Saviors in the bar last week.
Yeah.
That, like, both Negan and Rick are in this collision course of just, like, take no prisoners. We can try, but at the end of the day, I'm going to kill you, or you're going to kill me, and that's how this is going
to
end.
Do you think that Negan came back wanting to show his authority even more and prove who he was to scare people so they wouldn't turn on him? Because he knew about, obviously, you know, the two we're talking about, you know, Dwight and Simon. Do you think that he came in and said to himself, I'm going to show all these people that I'm still the man in charge.
100%. And I also think that when he fought Simon, he was like, the reason I'm going to have to, you know, he uses the old Michael Jordan line, if you want to be the man, you have to beat the man.
I love that.
I think that, like, he did that because he was like, I need to show these people. It's not about me saying get on your knees and killing you with a bat. It's about this other guy thinks he's going to show me up. He thinks right. He's going to be the guy. Right? All right, fine. I'll have my death squad kill all those people, and then I'll beat him to death in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens if you mess with me. Yeah. So I think that's what Negan had to do. So now at the same time, we have the storyline going on with Carl writing these letters.
Yeah.
So the episode opens with Rick reading Carl's letter, which yeah. we actually commended last week, the show, for not ending on a basically voiceover closeout.
Sure.
Which I would have been disappointed to see it as the closeout from last week, because it would have felt way too predictable. I was actually okay with it this week. Opening the episode on it felt to me like a more interesting plot device. It sets the tone for the episode, whereas the last week it would have felt like a little bit like an epilogue. Like, closing thoughts for Carl. You know, Chandler Riggs gets to say his goodbyes to the show. Like, that's a way, way more played out way of doing it. I think the voiceover starting this episode and then ending with the other letter written yeah. to Negan I thought was cooler. What did you think?
I agree with you, actually. The fact that, here's the thing, let's be honest about this. I mean, Rick is going to be dealing with this forever.
Of course.
You know? And it's not a quick fix. It's not a quick emotion that he's going to get beyond, you know? Yeah. So the fact that they're lingering it on different episodes, it's real life. You know, he Carl was his dude, you know? I mean, that's his son. And he's, you know, taught Carl so many things. It's going to... I don't know if Rick will ever be the same after this, you
yeah.
know? Honestly, I mean, so the fact that they're still talking about the letters and everything, that's real life to me. So I'm glad that they did it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I thought that the letters were great. I think that they proved a point. I thought that the message behind the letters was really important, because it informs you yeah. that neither of these characters has any interest in this, like, idealistic, peaceful, we can save them all sort of thing. A couple of things that Carl says in the letter to Rick are really interesting. He says to him, basically, you can save these people. It's not too late to save these people. You know, they're not all the worst, right? These are workers. These are family people. They're just in too deep. And so he's trying to urge Rick to kind of show some sympathy. Kill Negan. You know, he says, I wanted to kill Negan. But he's like, you know, don't just massacre everybody. There's a way out of this. You can start over. And then he says the same thing to Negan, basically, which is, you can start over. It's not too late for you. And you can see how those two people respond. You know, Michonne... It showed her friendship to Carl, right? Like, for her to go out yeah. of her way to get in touch with Negan.
I mean, it's dangerous.
And read him the letter. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, kind of. It's just a walkie-talkie. Which I guess she has to be kind of in range.
She has to be in range. I mean, you can't be too far, you know? And the fact that she still was able to go over there and get close enough to give those letters. I mean, I know, you know, she loves Carl.
That's, yeah, right.
She loves Carl like her own, you know, and like her son. So I appreciated that moment. It just also made me start to think, though, Ben, honestly, is like, who else has letters, you know? I mean, are they all prepared for death?
Yeah.
You know, it's a bigger thing, you know?
Yeah. Quick shout out from Frey1776 here on iTunes. Love seeing that there was a podcast waiting to listen to the next morning. AfterBuzz has a wide range of shows and a good group of hosts. Even the ones that might not connect with you right away will grow on you because they are people there, because they are fans of the shows they are hosting. We are fans of this show. Maybe it doesn't sound like it sometimes.
I know, sometimes.
But we are fans of the show. That's just a great rating review there. Reminder for you guys that go give us a rating and review. 5 stars. Write us something. If you do, we'll share it on the show just like this. And if you do, it helps us stay high in the standings so we can keep giving you guys free content, which we're always going to do. We're never going to charge you for it, but to keep the lights on, we do need to, you know, have awareness of the show, and so these reviews are the way to do it.
We like lights. I need light.
We like lights. Thanks, Jules.
I like that. So Eb Morris said, Carl's letters are less impactful to me because I felt the character wasn't acted well enough, written well enough for me to care about. Glenn's death was more impactful.
Because he feels that that Glenn was a better acted, better written character?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I suppose at this point now, enough major characters on the show have died that the in memoriam conversation becomes interesting of, like, ranking the dead characters. Who's the sure. best to who's the worst, you yeah. know? Everybody from Andrea to the governor to Carl, I'm blanking right now, Lori, you have
yep.
Abraham, Glenn. You have so many characters now that have died in this show. Tyrese... just an endless number. Noah,
I mean, there's so many.
Beth.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Dale.
Yeah.
Shane. Good Lord. They've killed, like, the whole show.
They have.
Everybody's dead.
It's The Walking Dead. Literally.
Yeah, I wonder. That's a really interesting question. Like, what are the top five top five most missed characters in Walking Dead history. I don't know if you and I have time to fully just go down that road. Maybe we should save that for the finale next week.
I like that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That's a fun thing.
You know, but I have to say who popped in my head first is Shane.
Yeah, Shane.
I just have to throw that out there, and we'll finish it next week. Oh, Dalton Farine.
Yeah, love Dalton Farine.
Dalton Farine said Shane.
Shane, yeah. People love Shane. Yeah. He's, I mean, and John Bernthal is the actor of all those actors that has really gone on to... He's like a movie star. He's having like a real career right now outside of just TV. So it makes sense that he would be.
And Meryl.
Yeah. And what, say which one?
And Meryl.
Meryl?
Yeah. Meryl.
Merle. Merle. Oh, Merle. Yeah, yeah. Sure, sure.
So that was my Ohio accent.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Merle. Yeah. What's his name? Michael Rooker. Yeah. But he's kind of famous before the show.
True.
So, all right. That's the letters. And there's a couple other little plot points in this episode. There's Eugene gets taken captive by Rosita and Daryl from the bullet making factory after like flexing in front of Gabriel. I hate Eugene. Why is he still alive?
I'd rather actually see Simon alive and Dwight alive before I see Eugene at this point. You know how I feel about Eugene and Gabriel.
Yeah.
You know, it's either I got to take one or the other.
Sure.
And Eugene, to me, honestly, once again, he pissed me off tonight.
Me
you
too.
Know why? Because when Rosita and Daryl came, you know, and took him.
Yep.
If you look at his face,
yeah.
The fear in his face alone upset me.
But the fear, this is the whole point.
Man
this,
up. Yeah, just man up.
Dude, I agree. But the whole point is his fear of death and his keen sense of survival is what makes him an interesting character. And it's
is he interesting, though?
Well,
is he really,
it's
been?
All illustrated in tonight's episode. That's the whole reason that we have what happens tonight is they set a plan. They kill someone. They take him captive. He uses his ingenuity to vomit all over Rosita so he can run away. She's taken aback. He's still lovable enough. She doesn't want to shoot him right away. But then she kind of loses it. She tries to shoot him. He hides in some dirt. Makes his way back to this bullet-making factory and is like, I will not be defeated. I need more sardine mac and cheese.
I love that you're doing the voice right now.
And and you know what? He's a survivor. I hate him. I can't stand him. I think he's going to die next week, but...
I don't even know. A.K.A. the oops dish. What do you call it? The oops dish.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That was great.
Yeah,
he had a lot of good one-liners. I will
really
give him
did.
Tonight. Sardine, he had a lot of great one-liners.
Takes me back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. I thought that was really... he still provides some good, solid comic relief in this show.
I actually sometimes wonder, do people... You know, does the audience understand what his one-liners are? You know what I mean? Because there's so many.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I literally wrote down, does the audience understand what Eugene is saying?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I mean, I always get it. It's always, you know, he strings together a bunch of interesting nouns and verbs and...
Sure.
Adjectives. He just uses his vocabulary.
Right.
So anyway, that all happens, and he's talking about making bullets, and Gabriel's crying. You know, he doesn't want to make bullets. He just was trying to make them so they didn't work. He's, like, blind now, basically. And, yeah, Eugene sucks.
Well, Khalid A. said, I grew to love Eugene's character, hated him at first, but loved him since season 6. Really, Khalid? Wow, season 6. Like, that's going back, brah.
I think that there's something to love because, like I said, if you can get past the fact that he's a coward and you can just say, like, he's a more interesting and unique character just in the sense that he's smart and he'll kind of do anything he needs to survive. He'll play both sides.
But I wouldn't trust him.
No, of course not. But
if I'm Negan, I'm not going to trust him. If I'm Rick, I'm not going to trust him.
Yeah, yeah.
I need continuous loyalty in the sense of I need to know that you're not going to flip it at any moment.
Yeah, and he's trying to sell out. Not sell out, but like criticize Rick's decision.
Sure.
He's like, this is all happening because of Rick. You know, Rosita got real. I think she should have hit him with the butt of the gun when she was yelling at him.
I would have liked that.
I thought that was a missing moment that she should have cold cocked him.
Yeah.
Because I think he's scared, but I think he needs to be scared of death. And I think he still thinks he's safe with them.
I agree with that. Yeah. He needs a little shake up a little bit.
What do you think about him vomiting on her?
I mean, clever move by him.
It's a strong move.
I mean,
vomit moves always.
Even the build up to
time.
That, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
works.
Yeah.
Vomit works every time.
Because you're like, does he have a bullet or a razor blade in his mouth?
Exactly.
What's he got?
Yeah.
Nope.
I just wish she had shot him in the leg or like on the arm, something, you know. So,
would you have been satisfied if he was just running away and she just killed him, shot him in the
back? I would have been very happy.
Just that's
and
how
then
he
cut his mullet right when she killed him.
That's how he ends.
That's how I wanted to go.
Yeah.
She kills him and cuts the mullet.
Sure. So, it's a good ask.
It's a good ask,
Christmas,
right?
Christmas wish list.
So RJHOO says Eugene is a big guy. Don't want to be carrying him around.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. We don't want to carry him around. He's a big dude. That hair alone is a lot of weight.
It is. All right, so let's talk about the redhead stepchild, so to speak.
Sure.
You know, no offense to gingers, but the term works for the Aaron scenes that happened tonight. What the hell was going on with the Aaron scenes? Honestly, I didn't love this episode, but this is the one part of the episode that was just a straight up, what on earth is happening? I remember Enid and Aaron going to Oceanside. I remember Enid killing Natanya. I know that the women of Oceanside hold it against them, but I don't remember how Aaron ended up, like, lost and alone in the woods.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while.
Food or water? Yeah. And also, just the whole, like, honestly, like, this was one of those things where it was like, I feel like they shot scenes and they're like, okay, so these aren't very good, but we can make time for about 55 seconds of this.
Sure.
He's going to need to give an inspiring speech to the women of Oceanside to get them involved so that they'll go fight against Negan, because that's going to be the big moment in the finale when they show up and they're helping fight.
Yeah.
So we have to show this, even though we don't want to and no one really cares, but we have to show it. That's what I felt like I was watching right there, was like, this is literally him trying to give an inspired speech, and it took 60 seconds, and why is it here? It just felt so out of place.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have forgotten about Aaron. I mean, to be honest with you. I felt like they tried to do a lot to make us remember him tonight, honestly. But he's also one of those characters that I'm like, I can give or take him.
I really like Ross Marquand, too. It bums me out that at this point in the show, he's become, he and his relationship, and then he loses the relationship. He's become just like a kind of irrelevant character. I mean, I don't know, guys. Am I way off on this? Because last week we were talking about the editing and how bad the editing was, and a lot of you guys in the chat agreed. That was a thing in the chat and in the comments. Do you agree that this Aaron stuff in this episode was just like, what is happening?
Sydney Taylor said Aaron didn't get lost. He just stayed where he last saw Enid.
Got it. He's just trying to find her?
He's just trying to find her? I guess so, but... RJHOO said he's not lost. He stayed behind outside Oceanside compound so he could hopefully convince them.
Yeah. That's right. He says, I'm going to stay behind.
He said, I'm staying behind. But still, I kind of feel like he's an underutilized character.
He's just like, he's like starving and has no water out of the woods.
Like, how is he living there? His hair is still curly, though, by the way.
All of it was just very strange to me. I don't even really know what else to say about him in this episode. His whole thing in this episode just was like, what is this? All right, so basically the episode ends with us finding out that Dwight is a traitor, knowing that Dwight's a traitor. Laura returns, and...
Did you know that was going to happen?
Laura and the traitor whole thing?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to happen at the end of this episode. I thought it might be next episode to open the show. But I think we all were pretty sure that that was who the character was. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
It was hard to imagine. It was hard to imagine it being anyone else. It makes perfect sense. But there are some loose ends that need to be tied up for next week.
I agree.
Jadis is going to show up in some capacity. The Oceanside women are going to show up in some capacity. There'll be a big big standoff.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a big standoff next week.
Like, yeah.
Just all different groups fight, you know, and then have to pick sides. Where are you going to go?
I read an article on Forbes this week talking about Walking Dead, and they were saying that the dropped ratings, because at this point we have less than half the viewers that we had at the peak of season 5, that a lot of it is just attributed to cable ratings across the board, that it's almost not even relevant to the quality of the show, because people have different opinions. Some people think that season 4, 5, 6 are the best seasons. A lot of people think the show is weaker now, but that it actually doesn't have as much to do with the quality of the show. Ratings, generally speaking, with cable don't actually have a correlation between quality of show and popularity of show. Game of Thrones, that everybody agrees the last season was not nearly as good as earlier seasons, has the highest ratings ever. That's just the thing. So this article is really interesting. It's the most recent article written by Forbes about The Walking Dead. It's worth checking out. So I suggest we get into predictions.
Let's do it.
All right, big predictions for coming from this guy. I think Dwight survives next week. I think that he's a relevant character to Rick and his team, so I think they're going to find a way to make Dwight survive. I think Eugene dies next week, and I think another major character dies as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know who necessarily, and I don't think it's one of the core four or five, but I wouldn't be that surprised if it was, for instance, like Aaron dies, so does Eugene, so does Gabriel. Like, we might clean house a little bit and like really lose some majors. Like secondary majors.
I think we should. My predictions are that I think Eugene is one of the characters we're going to use because we're starting to see his storyline back again. I actually think we're going to lose Aaron because they brought him back.
Yeah.
And there's just, to me, at this point, there's no utilization of his character.
Yeah.
So I think Eugene, Aaron is on the chopping board. And I think we're going to lose somebody major, kind of like a... I don't know. There's a third person I feel is there that's going to be a major chopping block, like maybe even like a Gabriel to me. We're not going to lose him. I'd be happy if we lost him, but maybe like a Carol or, you know, not Carol.
We know that Morgan's leaving the show because he's going to Fear. So we're going to say goodbye to that character. I just think it's hard for me to imagine with them just having killed Carl. That's the thing. Might be Negan. We might just lose Negan next week. He might be the big...
I don't think that we will, because I still feel like next season they need to finish out his storyline.
Yeah,
because I mean, I feel like if they kill him next week, it's just too abrupt.
I mean, that's what I was saying last week, is I do think that Negan's going to stick around. I don't think he dies at the end of the season. I think he becomes a lingering part of the story.
I mean, maybe it's Gabriel because he half can't see at this point anyway. So what's his, you know, how much can they really use him?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think that's gonna wrap us up here for our quick predictions. Any predictions in the chat? Anybody wants to talk about any deaths you guys are expecting to see happening?
Someone ex-death mistress said Rosita.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair one.
There's also Eugene. Gabriel is a big contender in this, who we're gonna lose next week. What do you guys think? Who else?
Yeah, leave your thoughts in the comments below. Yeah. Tweet at us. You can find us. In fact, that's a good time to remind you guys. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram if you want to tweet at me. Let me know, what do you think? Share your thoughts. I'll respond to you. I always do.
Yeah, so you can find me at Dario Crystal on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And you guys have been doing a great job with tweeting us about, you know, comments and things.
Yeah.
And we've been commenting back with you guys. So we love to keep the conversation going. So
yeah, and I do want to just quickly, this is a spoiler alert for everybody. I'm going to take 60 seconds right now to just talk comic book spoilers, just because spoiler I did tease alert. It. I want you guys to all be aware of this. Alert. So if you don't want to hear comic book spoilers, stay off the air. I know we were wrapping out, but I just wanted to get to this real quick because I think it's important. Last week we talked about the fact that it seems like the show is moving away from the comic books, and it does seem like it more and more. So the Whisperer storyline is going to be either alluded to or not next week. There's either going to be a time jump next week at the end of the show. We're going to get wind of it. I don't think they're going to wait to the beginning of next season to show us a time jump. Unless we're dead wrong and next week is not the finale, but I think it is.
It is finale.
Yeah,
yes.
Because Fear the Walking Dead starts next week. Yeah. Okay. So either we're going to get a flash forward time jump to end the episode, or they're going to stay away from that storyline and the Whisperer storyline entirely, and we're going to officially go in a different direction from the comics, and they're going to start originally writing the show. Because it's been a solid 3 or 4 seasons since we've really had a storyline that didn't just come from the comic books. And it seems to me we only have, basically next episode is going to be a really, really strong tell of what happens next and how much we're going to see. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. As always, it's AfterBuzz TV.
Check us out next week for the season finale.
Yeah, double long.
All
I'm
of
assuming,
us will be here.
Right?
Yeah.
Same time, same place next Sunday. We'll see you guys then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.